Welcome back to another episode of Winning Through Culture. I'm excited today to be here with Blair Primus. Blair is the Senior Vice President of Marketing and Talent Management at Ortho Carolina here in Charlotte, North Carolina. Blair, welcome.
Yes, excited to be here. Thanks, Tim.
Thanks. I know today we're going to talk about a little bit about your role in the organization as it relates to culture. And I know Ortho Carolina went through a transformational moment probably 3 years ago now when a new CEO came in. A lot of the times on this podcast, we're talking about ideas for business owners or entrepreneurs on how do you enhance or add to the culture of your organization. How do you be more intentional about the development of the culture? You really had a lightning rod moment in your professional life at Ortho Carolina around culture. So maybe we'll start there and kind of talk about where it all started 3 years ago.
Yeah, sure. I'd be happy to. So prior to that moment, right, it would have been 2018 or so, most of my Ortho Carolina work had been centered on marketing, external communications. And we had a chance to think about what our organization needed to look like in the future. And we wanted to do it in a very serious and meaningful and deliberate way, to your point about intentionality. And so it might be one thing for us to kind of rally around and ask, you know, across the office, anybody have interest in, you know, giving a talk about leadership or giving a talk about emotional intelligence? And while some folks may have some insight into that, we found that it was better suited for an outside resource. So we actually partnered with the Ritz-Carlton a few years back and went through a pretty exhaustive fact-finding mission. We did lots of surveys, we did lots of work. And really what came out of it was a reboot, is the term we use, or sort of redefine of our purpose as an organization, which we actually now state as to make lives better. And it's sort of the guidepost by which we do all of our work. And so it doesn't say make patients' lives better. It doesn't say make communities' lives better. It doesn't say make our employees or our team members' lives better. It just says make lives better. So whoever you as an employee can live up to, or team member, we call them as team member, as you can live up to that purpose, then you're aligned with sort of the vision of the organization. And that's really what the outcome of it was. Now, several years later, and a huge test of a pandemic, we're seeing if we can put that to the test. I think we've seen some tremendous successes. It's been exciting. It was, I should back up and just say that for those that don't know, Ortho Carolina is privately owned by the doctors that work here. And so we included them in that exercise as well. So all physicians were a part of this reboot too. It wasn't just the staff or the team members. It was the ownership group and the folks that work with the owners to do that. And so the outcome has been great. We now have a department of culture, which is part of my team. It's weaved into our human resources work that we do. We have an internal communications program. All of those functions came out of this work we did to improve our culture through having a meaningful purpose for why we're here.
Well, and before we get too far in, maybe it'd be a good moment to take a step back and have you describe your role in that context.
Sure.
Obviously, it's evolved with this evolutionary process. So talk a little bit about how your role has evolved and what you are focused on today.
Yeah, great. So I'm a career marketer, communicator, you know, public relations and things of that nature. Been at North Carolina, July will be 13 years that I've been here. And so for the first, 10 or so, it was focused pretty exclusively on that marketing and external communications function. When I started versus where we are today, we're more than 100% larger in terms of patient volume, in terms of number of offices, in terms of number of employees, in terms of, for the most part, in terms of revenue as well too. And so it's interesting to experience that from the inside and see where there are opportunities were to have moments of growth for our people. And so in a meeting where I raised my hand and said, it would be interesting if we did it, and somebody said, sounds great, you're now in charge of it. I took on the role of trying to help lead and manage what is a terrific human resources team, which is now part of my group. We have a corporate education and training program, which we're working on developing even further in 2021. And then I have an internal communications and culture team in addition to the marketing department. And so the way I like to sum it up, Tim, is if I had two people sitting across from me at my desk, and one of them was a patient and one of them was a team member, I want them to use similar language to describe our organization. while clearly one would be looking for care and one might be looking for benefits or a better desk chair or better compensation, the reality is, what kind of descriptive words can they use to talk about our organization? You know, what does Ortho Carolina mean to them? And if they're saying roughly the similar things, then I think we've achieved our goal, which is our brand externally is what the people internally believe to be true.
So you've really done a fantastic job, Blair, it sounds like, of tying the brand of Ortho Carolina and what it means to everybody that it serves to the culture and the mission and the vision of how people show up every day.
Yeah, we try day in and day out. The hope is that we're, you know, especially when you think about healthcare, and again, especially related to the last, you know, 12 to 14 months where taking care of people became really prominent in our culture and in our society. You know, most of the people, if you ask them why they work here, they love working hard because we're helping people who need our help. And how you translate that into making sure that they're still seen as an essential component into doing that work. We need our wellness. We need our onboarding and our orientation and our development of people. And that all has to be just as important so they can do the things that they say why they work here. They can live the passion that they have for the work. And so that's what we're working hard to try to get at and to make us really an employer of choice, right? We want people, at the end of the day, what I want to have happen is I want somebody to leave where they currently work because they would rather come work for us. If you happen to be out of a job, we're happy to take a look at you as well too, for all those listening or watching. But ultimately, I want somebody to say, you know, at some point when there's a role open, that's where I want to go work. I want to be a part of that team. And, you know, to steal a line, that's what I think how we win through culture, right? Is yeah. People see that and we become a winner.
Well, that's really, again, the genesis of this podcast was built around that premise. So it's exciting to talk to someone like yourself that's got, you know, you've really evolved pretty far into this journey. You know, I guess getting into maybe some specifics, Blair, I mean, what are some of the elements of how you are defining that healthy and growing culture? What are some of those kind of key, obviously there's some table stakes to your point,
but sure.
There's things beyond that.
Yeah. So there's a couple of things I can point to pretty specifically. One is we actually made a conscious effort to have people commit to a pledge to honor this vision. And we've created like a little, you know, 2.5 by 3 inch kind of credo card that is a part of everybody's uniform. It is a team promise. It is a vision for the organization. It is the values by which we stand: quality, service, community, and teamwork. And it is a credo card that we want everybody to abide by. And we actually made everyone sign a document saying they would honor this. And while I know that is somewhat, figurative, it actually is you're committing to it. You're signing a contract that you will honor this. And so I think the nature of that in and of itself became something that we could share with your organization. So now 3 or so odd years later, every time we onboard someone, they sign the similar document that I did 3 years ago. So I think that's one thing that has become a little bit more than just a symbol. It's actually become a meaningful sort of exercise. I think the second thing we did is, and this is maybe a bit of the marketer in me, but we really, until a couple of years ago, didn't do a great job of internal communication. So going back to what I was saying before, when you grow as rapidly as we have, one of the things that I think we perhaps had more opportunity to be successful at was feeling like you're part of one big place. How do I feel like I'm part of Ortho Carolina versus I just work at the doctor's office near where I live in the town where my location is? And we had to figure out a way to bring people together, and it proved difficult. You can't always drive out there. You know, keep in mind we're a business that we see people and patients during the day. So the way to communicate with everyone else is after hours. Well, that's not always easy with offices in, you know, Winston-Salem and Shelby and, you know, Concord and Rock Hill and even further places like Warrenburg and out near Pinehurst and Scotland County. So we needed to figure out a way to have a more robust internal communications strategy, not just a technology by which we could put videos and things on. So we really leaned hard into creating an internal communications department, which we did not have until a couple of years ago. And the thought there would be, if we have better communication across the organization, we by default will uplift our culture. We can highlight the great things that our staff and people are doing. We can showcase the growth that we're experiencing as an organization. We can challenge one another to be better. We can share best bets. We can talk about things we're doing in the community. We can introduce new staff members. We can introduce new physicians. And it can be done in a platform that everybody will access, that everybody has access to, and they can do it on their own time and at their own convenience. And so I try hard to not underplay the role that successful communication strategy has and can have in an organization. It sometimes is an afterthought. We need a super strong culture. We need everybody to abide by a credo card that they wear on their person day in and day out. But if you don't have a way to communicate and show that you're actually living those values, living those things, then is it really happening? And so we hired an internal communication specialist. We made it part of our culture team and our communications team, and we've been off and running ever since.
That's really interesting because to your point, you know, it's one thing to say you want to be intentional about culture. It's another to then actually go as far as being declarative about it and asking everybody to literally sign off on a commitment to honor it. And then to take it that next step, which is to keep it alive through communication and not just haphazardly, but very intentionally. I think are probably more evolved than a lot of businesses in this regard, Blair, and what you guys have done. What does that department of culture, I know you said you've got a person that's actually their job. I mean, what are they doing day in and day out? How's that integrated into the business?
Yeah, and it's fascinating because that role has bobbed and weaved to some degree. You know, we had an epiphany moment where we did this, you know, long-term agreement, this indoctrination with the Ritz-Carlton Leadership Center. And we sort of said, you know, how do we sustain this once it's done? How do we prevent this from being, I went to the meeting, checked the box. And so we thought to ourselves, we need a culture sustainment team. And so we hired a person who would help lead that culture sustainment team. And that was sort of like evolution one. And then evolution, and what that was, Tim, was sort of a cross-functional group of people, physicians, staff, a couple of folks from outside the organization, who 45 or so people who would help sort of create, what do we want to stand for? What do we want to continue to work on? How do we impact, how do we make culture something that pulls through the entire organization, through every interaction, through every meeting? And then from there, we sort of evolved to number two, which is, we really should need a culture sustainment because really it should be part of all the things that we do. So now what are those components that we want to stand for that make us different or special in the marketplace? So today we spend a lot of time on how do we think about better communication of successful behaviors? It may not necessarily be the content of the email that I'm going to recognize a colleague for. It's going to be the method by which they communicated what was in it that I want them to be recognized for. It may not necessarily be the answer they gave in the meeting. It might be how they behaved and the precedent they were setting by going into the meeting, the pre-work, the attitude, the conversation. If we can measure and role model behaviors, then I think we actually are affecting culture regardless of the content. Whether it's as difficult as something in the medical space for orthopedic surgery, or it's something as maybe potentially mundane as your how to fill out your FMLA paperwork. All of that should have this filter of we're here to make sure that the behaviors that we're working for one another are the best they can be. A little catchphrase that I use is our goal is to exceed expectations, not meet them. And if that behavior can be replicated, then I think we have some success. So what Jenny and Terry are strong but mighty communications and culture team is doing is trying to indoctrinate the organization with those behaviors. Where can I see we could have communicated that better? What could we have done in this meeting to make it more productive? How do we do some look backs and say, you know, next time we get together, it might be better if we do this. How do we have very intentional language? How do we leverage our CEO messaging and our leadership messaging more intentionally? Long-winded answer, but ultimately, that's how I think about it for life.
It's a great answer, though, in the sense that, again, the intentionality of all this is it's not accidental by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's work, for sure. Yeah, I'm curious, as you have been on this journey now and seeing the type of growth you mentioned earlier, Blair, I mean, what are What are some of the byproducts of all of this work, whether it's with the, you know, the people you serve in the community, as far as patients go, or your team members? You know, how is this manifesting itself? And obviously, I would presume a very productive way.
Yeah. Some of the quick ones that I think you can measure and you can feel, right, would be a employee satisfaction improvement. So when we look at team member engagement, we can see from pre and post, almost every major category that we would measure saw increases. There's always opportunities in those types of evaluations, of which we embrace and we look to improve. But we're not just showing that, you know, we still didn't do very well with how we're compensating our team. We took a look at that and evaluated and said, can we do to better address a deficit perhaps in what our team believes, our team members believe we're not offering them? How do we make our benefits better? Well, what they don't know is that benefits team is really working hard to get the best benefits package they possibly can for the organization. We just never told them that they were doing that. And so we've got to figure out ways to be better at communicating the work that we're doing. You know, the phrase I use is, right, we have to be better at marketing the marketing so that they know what we're up to. They know the changes we're trying to make. They know how hard everyone is trying to work. And so I think we have found that employee satisfaction has increased, which over time, right, will help with retention, will minimize turnover, and I think ultimately will get us to be more productive as an organization. You know, again, I hate to keep bringing it up, but the giant asterisk of COVID sort of threw a giant curveball into what these charts and these metrics would look like. But if you continue the forecast and just drop this year's data out of it, you'll see that all of those charts have that upward, you know, a green arrow that you want whenever you look at those data points. And you feel them when you're in the clinic, even in some things like exit interviews, believe it or not, when our people leave, the things that they mention as to why they leave, the comments, like I left because I was given an opportunity to do something incredible at another place. I'm not dissuaded by that because it means we got them to a spot where they could ascend to that level.
Yeah.
To that level. We of course want to keep the best talent and retain the best people and keep everybody together as a family. But when you see those types of things, it's encouraging because maybe we're actually creating great people for our community, not just a great employee at Ortho Carolina.
Yeah. Back to your mission.
Yeah.
The one thing that I kind of go back to on the behaviors, because that's again, you know, when you think about the definition of culture, everybody, you know, it's a word that a lot of people use. And start asking people what it means, you get a lot of different definitions. And I certainly personally believe one of them is it is the collective behaviors of the people in an organization and how they show up. I mean, are there specific behaviors, as you guys have been intentional in this process, Blair, that you are really recognizing and rewarding and striving to get people to show up with every day?
Yeah, there are. There's a couple, and I think some of them are maybe leader specific, and I think others we're trying to make more horizontal across the organization. You know, so one that I think is important would be to identify that we're an organization of chess pieces, not necessarily just a game of checkers. It isn't just a north-south environment, that leaders need to recognize they have personalities that are varied amongst their teams, and that leaders of those groups should cater their leadership style to the different types of chess pieces, mm-hmm. and that they're all going to be motivated and they're all going to be best utilized by knowing that's how they want to be led. And that's one thing that we're trying to do across the organization. Be comfortable knowing you have to know how different your team members are. It'd be very prescriptive to say this is a job description and every person is going to fit into it. It's really the other way around. We have all these different people who happen to have a similar job description.
I think the other core one,
Tim, right, would be trust. Trust. How do you create an environment where when people are given the responsibility to lead, you're going to allow them to do that? Can we teach and guide and not micromanage? And that one is a bit harder to instill over time because I think there are personal preferences. There are, you know, expectations, maybe even some generational challenges in length of work and pedigree and where folks have come from to say, this is how I'm used to doing it. It isn't as easy for me to change and all of a sudden hand the keys over. And so I think that it might be one of those tougher ones to get at, but we're very much trying to instill a degree of trust amongst our leadership teams.
Yeah, and that's obviously leadership, such a critical component of building culture, because a single business owner, entrepreneur, or CEO, they may have the vision, but it takes a lot more people to make it come alive. What is there anything specific you've done? It sounds like you have, but just curious, you know, to teach your leaders how to have that flexible style in dealing with the people that they are charged with leading.
Yeah. So there's a tool that we've, my team uses, and I encourage others and across the organization to use, a very simple tool, technique, really, just called start, stop, and continue. Every 90 days, can I sit down with one of my team members and say to them, what would you like me to start doing, stop doing, and continue to do to help make your job, your career more successful? And if you are true to that technique and that exercise, it can actually be really transformational in both a short and a long-term way. You know, we brought on a new human resources director a couple of years ago. And in my first, 90 days with her, I said, what should I start doing, stop doing, continue to do? And we had a very strong, really, a lot of really great things in there. And one, she said, I actually need you to stop doing something. Which is always the hardest one to tell your leader, right?
Yeah.
And she said, I'm trying to get used to having a new group of people that I'm trying to lead. And while I know that they're used to communicating with you as well, when they email you and me together, you can't answer before I do. Because if you do, I then either, if I disagree or don't, and not necessarily on the same page as you, I have to figure out a way to say that in front of all of them with you on this thing. So I need you to give me a little bit of grace. Don't necessarily respond as quickly until I've had the chance to do it. So over time, she and I have gotten into a much better cadence of being like, I know that she's going to need X, Y, and Z amount of time. She either is in meetings all day or has a different opinion, or we try to meet on these topics ahead of time. And so there's a very tactical example of how doing start, stop, continue can be transformational very quickly. I mean, with one comment, I can change a behavior that makes her more successful as a leader. And I think if people believe in that technique and that process, it can really be a short and long-term benefit for the entire organization.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great example in the sense that, from a leadership perspective, especially with someone new in that role, you
have
to give them the room to do their job. And that builds that culture of trust as well. And clearly, that example was real life for me about a week ago, where I did respond to an email that I shouldn't have and went the other way versus where my COO wanted me to go. But we had that moment. We had very transparent conversations, and she did come to me and say, "Hey, wait a minute, you weren't supposed to do this. You just kind of
made it more difficult, right?
And everything I just did. Now you get to clean it up."
Yeah, it says a clarifying email. Yeah. Very interesting.
Well, it's I got to do that.
Those are real moments. Yeah,
a very real moment. I guess from a standpoint, as you mentioned, which is a very real dynamic right now in the marketplace, is the kind of the war for talent, or just the challenge of finding talent. And as you know, you guys have a footprint in the Carolinas, which is a rapidly growing area. Mm-hmm. I mean, what are some of the things you're doing to use the work you've done in this area to, attract talent? And obviously you're probably got a mechanism to help select the right people at the same time.
Right. So I'll start by saying that we still have a lot of work to do here. And so it's been a fun space for me to be a part of, because it's exciting. It's exciting work to watch us try to transform this. I think from a patient care perspective, we've built a pretty strong brand about being high quality and a company you can trust. How do we take the moments of this cultural change and the behaviors that we want to showcase and turn them into an asset for team members that becomes great patient care. And that's where we still have some work to do. I think we've got some examples on our website, which are great examples of career lifelong people at the organization. They started from point A and have made it to point, you know, C or D or E, wherever. They've expanded their career, they've done this work. I think the challenge though in that is it's incredibly inward, in that we're showcasing what we think has been great. We need to figure out more what incoming talent, incoming the new workforce, what do they want out of an organization? And what do we do to address it ahead of time? So by the time they're applying, we have those options for them. By the time they want to join our organization, we have those solutions baked in. You know, especially the generational changes of, I believe like the younger generations, candidly, they want to change the world tomorrow.
Yep.
Whereas when I was maybe coming through it,
or
I was
later today.
You're later today. Exactly. Exactly. Whereas where I was coming up in the world, it was a little bit more like, let me figure out where the men's room is and where's the cafeteria and where's a cool place to get a sandwich. Let me figure out what my role is here. And then ultimately I'll decide if this is the right place. That's not necessarily the case today. So what are we doing as an organization to cater to that? I mean, if you look at Charlotte very specifically, look at the places that are relocating their businesses to Southend. I mean, LendingTree and Lowe's. And all these groups that are moving to these areas where the talent will live and exist. And that's a very real thing for the rest of the community. Yep. You know, we don't just compete with Atrium and Novant and other healthcare groups for talent. We're going to compete with all the places that are announcing their $15 per hour minimum wage, Amazon and Target. And, you know, Bank of America just announced $25, I think I saw today or yesterday. And so those are our competitors too. And it's not just the marketing of the hour, the wage per hour. It's that all the other things that are coming with that. And some of it is more than just what Google thought of back in the day, which was, I think, you know, a foosball table and cushy chairs and free vending. That's great. But the reality is it has to be these other things. I want to be in a culture that grows my career. I want to have a say in how we do this work. I want to be responsible. I want to be recognized for the behaviors that I exhibit and the people that I can work with. That's where we have to go, Tim. It's a work in progress for us. We're getting there, and I think we've done a lot of good stuff. I say we're about 50%, 60% on the way, but there's really more work for us to do there. And I'm excited by it. I think it's a great opportunity for us to leverage this brand in some way to become stronger for our employee base, our team member base.
Yeah, it's exciting and rapidly changing environment with a younger workforce. You know, I'm curious, what are, you know, you mentioned a couple things. What are some of the trends that you're seeing though? I mean, you know, that group, you know, say the under 30, 35 crowd.
Right. So it's interesting. And you know, clearly this was accelerated by COVID, but the ability to work remote. I think was a interesting outcome of all of this. And so I think that got incredibly fast forward. I think results oriented work in the true sense of it. So I think let me be accountable on my time in my way for getting my job done. It isn't that the office is opened at 8 and closes at 5 and you have a position, you have a desk that you should be at, and I want you to be there. I think now it's like not just working remote, meaning not in the office, it's I'm going to work how I want to work, when I want to work, on the schedule I want to work, as long as I'm accountable for my results and you hold me accountable, give me some freedom to do that, which makes me circular, come back to trust. If I'm going to hire you to get this work done and we can come to an agreement that you may choose to work at a coffee shop today or your kitchen table tomorrow or a co-working space in the office or come to a meeting at the office, I'm going to let you work how you want. As long as we know that after a week's period of time, 2 weeks period of time, a month, a year, we're accomplishing the goals that we set forth so the organization can move forward, then I think we're in great shape. And I think that's some of the trends that are out there today. You know, results-oriented work environment is the future for work.
result more than time and place bound.
Exactly right. Yeah. Measure me by the results that I give you versus that the I need to see you in the office at 3:30. Are you leaving early? Are you working hard? I mean, those are generational, right? I mean, it's still around every now and then. Like, I haven't seen them around the office all that much. And I'm like, yeah. Well, because they don't work here. That's why you don't see them. But they're still working. We're still getting things done. And so I think that's some of the big changes, right? Is this is the idea that I can do it on my time in my way. And I want you to honor that. And I want you to reward me when my results are still outstanding.
What, you know, as you say that, Blair, the thing that kind of comes to mind, because we actually just internally in our own organization had this conversation today, actually. When it's patient-facing activities, I mean, how do you adapt for that? Or is that a different model? Because, I mean, so much of what you guys do involves a patient.
Yeah.
I presume people are coming in, you know.
Yep, they are.
Digital is probably a bigger part of the platform now than it used to be. But certain aspects, you still need to see people.
Yes.
The type of work you do. How have you adapted that flexibility into that, you know, client facing? There is a set hours of in the office when clients or patients come in.
Yeah, that's a great question for us to continue to work toward as well, right? Mm-hmm. And I think there's two main components of that. One would be to allow for some flexibility in that schedule. And so the question becomes, do you want to work traditionally, maybe have been Monday through Friday, set schedule, this is when you do it. Well, maybe instead you now work we offer urgent care appointments late night, and we offer some evening appointments at certain clinics. So maybe you offer folks 3 12-hour shifts. Maybe you work toward the, you know what, there's an opportunity for you to work part-time these days and full-time on these days. Is there a way to think about using your skill set to be more cross-functional? So work in this role because we want you to acquire the skill set of it. And then perhaps there's an opportunity for you to do a training role over here or a supervisory role over here, which I think allows them to say, I need to work toward this to be successful in this role and learn how to do the other things so that I can move into those positions. So the leader needs to be able to say, I'm going to give you time to learn those things. Is it continuing education or professional development or networking? It's hard because we need to see patients when we're available to see them, and we need people to be there to do that work. But letting them know we're open to them being open to changing it, I think is really important as well too. So there's some tactical examples, you know, that we can do, Tim, of like time shifting your work. And then there's also some maybe cerebral examples, which is remember, I'm open to you doing other things in this organization. You just have to let me know that you want to explore them.
Yeah, that I think is another trend culturally, especially with the under 35 workforce. Internally, we created a emerging leaders group of younger associates.
Smart.
And that was the first conversation I had with them when I got them together. As I said, look, you know, I'm 54. You're millennials. Actually, at least all the millennials that work for us are very great workers, hard workers, and very purposeful. They really, you know, want to have a sense of purpose in their work. So they don't fit the stereotype that I think's been perpetuated unappropriately so towards their generation. But I said to them flat out, I said, look, you know, your generation is known for job hopping. So instead of leaving the organization, just come to me. And, you know, let's talk about what you want to learn something new. You want to try a different challenge. Somebody did come to you with a offer for another opportunity. I'm not going to get upset at you. I'd rather talk to you about it in advance.
Yeah.
And, you know, that has led to us, you know, being able to, you know, take a good employee who's in one role and pivot them to a new challenge. And, you know, that's I think a big part of how to serve that generation of employees well.
Culturally. Yeah, I think that's really, really smart to do that. We created an employee council that is a select group of team members across the organization who meets every couple of months with just the CEO. There's no other management in the room. And it is a safe space for them to say, I wish we did more of this. I'm frustrated by that. Here's the things I love about working here. I wish we did more of it. Here's the positivity and the happiness moments I wish we could recreate more frequently. How do I find more people like that? And we try to take those and turn them into a action plan for the rest of the leadership group. So it's been very, it's been a very interesting process to have team members report to the CEO. And then have the CEO come to our leadership meeting and say, by the way, here's all the things that your teams think you need to do better.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, how has that been received?
Yes, it is. We've gotten used to, I think, deciding that, okay, I get why they're saying that. I understand. And you know, well, here's what we'll do to make it better. Here's what we can do to improve it. But sometimes we'll say to him, do us a favor, go back and get more detail on that. What do they mean when they say they don't feel recognized on the work that they do, or they're upset by the fact we didn't do X, Y, and Z, or in a positive light, when they say they really enjoyed that, get more, what about that what specifically was so great about it? What specifically did they think was so good that we could do more of those things? Even if they became micro moments of the bigger moment, how do we do that and socialize that to our other leaders, so we, you know, rising tide lifts all boats, so we can do that work. So I like your example a lot. We have a modified version of what you're doing, but I very much appreciate that it's transparent, and I think that's what's so cool.
Well, I was just getting ready to ask you. I mean, that's one of the things about the work you've done, and I think that a really critically important part of a healthy culture is transparency. So you really created a transparent culture. And a place where, you know, there's a feedback loop, that is not based on a hierarchy. In fact, you know, listening to you share, what you're sharing, Blair, I mean, a lot of what, you know, the leadership principles or servant leadership principles where the leaders are there and the organization is there to serve the patients that need your care and to serve the team members that are there to, you know,
providing that care.
Providing the care and beyond just making a living, but making a difference, because, you know, the healthcare field is about making a difference, not just making a living. So,
right.
Is that, obviously it's probably been somewhat intentional servant leadership side of things, but how has that feedback loop evolved? Yeah. Because that's a, you know, scary thing for some people in leadership
roles,
you know, that are more positionally leadership minded. And it's like, well, you know, I'm the leader. What are they telling me?
Right. Why are they telling me? I earned my role. Yeah. I earned my stripes. Yeah. And so that's a great insight, because I think that it's truly twofold. One is, it's not just setting up the structure so that you can create feedback loops. It's actually almost educating and reinforcing to the leaders that they have to listen to it. And I think that is where we have done some really good work. We still have more work to go, but I come back to this idea of role modeling those behaviors. And, you know, I'll use myself as an example. You know, I would tell you that I never would have thought, having been, you know, 15 or 18 years into a marketing career, that somebody would say, you're now in charge of human resources, because I know very little about that space. But I know that I know very little about that space. So I'm going to hire and trust and work alongside experts in that space. So I'm going to celebrate and reward those folks because of the work that they do. And maybe that's my purpose in that role. It isn't to actually be the one that knows the details of a human resources function. I'm there to make sure that the folks that are getting it done get the recognition they deserve, and that I socialize the great work to the rest of the organization so they feel empowered. And that's the training, you know, education that we need to provide to other leaders about when they're responsible for a team, right? Not everyone can be the race car driver. Other people have to build the race car and create the other things, and they may never sit behind the wheel, but they've got to do all the other things that make that possible.
With excellence. You know,
yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, it's a role model, that behavior. So I've thought about it, but I don't think I would ever send an email about how great I am. But the reality is, I can be used as an example of, here's somebody who may not have had necessarily a skill set in that particular area, but they had a talent for a thing that was tangential to it. And so let's celebrate that talent and put them in a place to be successful. So I've tried to do that with my team. How can you take on more, even though you don't, it's not necessarily an area you have experience in, or you've had no background in? You can be propped up because you have those other talents that make you successful in that realm. And I think that's one of the things that we need to do more of in our organization, is expose more leaders to this idea that they can help prop people up even when it's not necessarily their area of expertise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's a great concept. So yeah, I'm curious, you obviously are strategic in your work. I mean, what do you see as kind of the next 12 to 24 months where the focus goes? Because, you know, we've talked about, I think, some fantastic topics. You mentioned Google, and, you know, I think the beauty of what you said there is, you know, maybe 20 years ago or 15 years ago, culture was having beanbag chairs and, you know, foosball tables and video.
Right, right.
It's, you know, I think it's evolved way beyond that. But, you know, where do you see things going in the next 12 to 24 months as the COVID fog kind of lifts and, the world gets back to some semblance of what was pre-COVID normal.
Yeah, what used to be. Yeah, I think there's probably two areas that maybe I live with a little bit. One would be the concept of what is the new hybrid? What is the new version of this? You know, most of my team used to be in the office. Now most of my team is not. And so what do I need to do as a leader to adapt to that? They may need different types of attention. They may want different types of feedback. They may want different types of engagement. And so leaders need to think about not just the fact that they went through a bit of a change, but their teams are going through a bit of a change. And to maintain that culture, to be successful through that, you've got to be conscious of what those changes were in your workforce. So I think that might never go away. I mean, for all the places that may never stop wearing a mask, we still have a mask mandate in healthcare. We still have to wear a mask. And so that just might now be the normal. Well, if that's now the normal, how do we think about doing that better or differently or in a novel way going forward? So I think the first one would be, it isn't just change because of what COVID did. Think of all the other things that are happening to your workforce where you used to come together to make a speech, and now it's just 24 boxes on a screen. That's a different methodology in how you work. And in many cases, there could be, well, maybe they're more productive and they have chosen this, going back to our earlier conversation, they like remote work. They may not be motivated the same way. Maybe there are moments of isolation or self-doubt or lack of confidence. Well, how do you see that when you don't see them in the office? How do you see that when you are not next to them? And so I think leaders need to be a bit more deliberate about a non-connected workforce where they're in the same place. That's very specific to Ortho Carolina, but I think that's one thing coming down the road that we need to think through. And then I think the second one is going back to our conversation before about the needs and the wants of the next generation from a talent perspective. We have to get better at asking the future generation what they want in their job, regardless of the type of job that it is. Whether you work in healthcare or you work in sports, or you work in textiles or banking or finance, whatever it might be. What kind of job do you want to have? And then we'll describe what the actual content of that job looks like. I think we still have a bit of the old way, which was, here's the job that's open. Can you fill it?
Yep.
We need to make a true shift in hiring for mindset and for cultural fit first, and assume that they applied for a job that they have some interest in.
Yeah.
You know, if you're applying for a position to be a, you know, marketing specialist, my assumption is you know what that job is about. All I'm asking you is, do you fit into this organization? And then we can figure out how we can train you to do that. So I think to me, that'll be another thing we have to be mindful of and deliberate.
Hiring for that cultural fit first.
First.
Not just trying to fill a box on the
And really part. Doing it. And like really doing it now. Like actually living that vision.
And I do think your earlier point, I'm still wrapping my head around this because I like to be around people live, is how an environment that may be sustained with, physical distancing because the new norm becomes more remote work. How do you sustain a culture and grow a culture in that environment? And we could do a whole nother podcast.
I know. The one thing I'll say, the one thing that I've been struggling with, Tim, in that regard, very, very, very quick here, is that if you think about my schedule before versus my schedule after COVID, well, I think productivity and being able to work from home and maybe cutting down on commuting times and all of those things have helped folks be more comfortable with the work that they do and increase our performance. Yep. The fact of the matter is, I used to have to drive between meetings, which gave me a moment to think back on the meeting I just left, to prepare for the meeting I'm going to just take a break from what I was doing. Now my meeting ends at 1:59. I go right into the next meeting. I've given myself no time to be with my thoughts and my ideas. I'm immediately on to the next thing. And I don't know that that's really good for the long term. And so this is where I struggle with this. What does this new hybrid look like? How do I stay connected to teams and people in a way to maintain that enthusiasm, that culture of ideas, that I want them to take risks. I want them to be skeptical. I want them to question decisions. I want them to come up with new ideas. I want them to ask me why we're doing things. Why are we doing that? What is the purpose of that? And sometimes I feel like we go from one thing to the next, and we lose a little bit of that. Even the 7 minutes of between walking between this first floor and the fifth floor, it's gone now, right? It's just this ends and the next one comes up.
To the next. Yeah. That's Zoom exhaustion, as I refer to.
Yes. Yes.
So Tuesday feels like Thursday.
Yeah.
I'll bring us kind of to a wrap up here. And I'm just, we've shared so many great ideas and I really appreciate the time today, Blair. It's
absolutely
wonderful to see an organization that's accomplished what you've accomplished intentionally as you have, and, the dedication of that and how that's impacting everybody you serve. For a listener to this podcast that's an entrepreneur, business owner, in a different place, what are some of the simple, tangible steps to maybe take in the formation of a great culture in your mind?
Yeah, I think it's, to be able to listen to what your gut tells you sometimes. If you feel like this is the right thing to do, get it validated by others, but don't dismiss it because you don't have I'm all for collecting data. And I think that collecting and using data is critically important, but sometimes we get so focused on what the chart tells us that it isn't necessarily what common sense may tell us. And so I usually like to tell folks, especially if I'm mentoring anybody, what does your gut tell you about this? How do you feel about this? Don't discount that feeling. Don't discount the anecdotes of things. How you feel about it will be how you embrace going into it or how you think about your business. So if you're thinking about starting a business or you're thinking about expanding one, follow what your gut tells you. If that person that you're thinking about hiring just doesn't feel right, maybe they just don't feel right, as opposed to trying to wedge them into something because you think you have a need. I like the idea of maintaining a human component to the work that we do. It isn't just black and white. Humans are gray, and we should embrace that. Be comfortable with that. You may not know all the answers. You may not understand every detail. And it's important to know that you don't know it all. So either go find someone who can help you or trust your gut to get you there. Talk to people, ask questions, seek advice, be willing to try things. I oftentimes would suggest, try one or two things, get good at them, then go to the third one. Because we all know, right? The number one goal of any business is to stay in business. Yeah. And so once we have figured that out, I think we can get into some of the ideas of making sure that we're doing what's right by your gut and that it feels right. Maybe that's the ultimate version of being mission aligned. Maybe being mission aligned is that it feels good. It feels like the right decision, not just that it meets what we said on a piece of paper.
Yeah. Yeah. You know that it's in alignment.
Yeah. That mission. Yeah. Good way to put it.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the time. I
it was my pleasure.
I am actually a past patient of Ortho Carolina. A decade ago, I shattered my left leg in a skiing accident.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Got rid of my tibia plateau into shards, and it was not a fun one, but one of your physicians there put me back together again and gave
great.
Me the opportunity to not only walk, but go back to running and
awesome.
Being very active. So forever grateful for the excellent care I received there a year ago or 10 years ago now. And it's great.
Wow.
To hear that you guys have continued to evolve to provide that to our community. So thank you for that as well.
My gosh, you're very, very welcome. And I'm glad you're one of the success stories, which is terrific to hear.
Yes, I am. And it is terrific. I'm eternally grateful.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Thank you for joining us on another episode of Winning Through Culture. Until we are together again, make it a great week.
I've enjoyed spending time with you on this episode today, and be sure to continue along this winning journey with me. Thank you for listening to the Winning Through Culture podcast. And remember, stay impactful and relevant. To connect with us, you can find us on Instagram and LinkedIn at Winning Through Culture, and find us online at winningthroughculture.com, or just go to the show notes where you'll find all the links. We look forward to connecting with you and hearing from you. Thanks for listening.